Welcome back to Press Play OK, a deep dive into the minds of Oklahoma musicians. It's great to be back after a short break. We have some great interviews lined up and some great content to share with you, so make sure you keep an eye out for new episodes coming very shortly. On this episode, we talk with Cat Locke, a multi-instrumentalist and songwriter from Norman, who just released a new album called Some Recurring Notes. So stay tuned as we press play on Cat Locke.
Support for this podcast comes from Musicians Haven, a nonprofit organization focused on providing opportunities for musical enjoyment. Based out of Claremore, Musicians Haven provides events like jam nights, vinyl nights, and intimate concerts. More information on Musicians Haven at musichaven.org or at facebook.com/musicianshaveninc.
I'm equally scared of you as I am prepared to love you. I am equally scared of you as I am prepared to love you forever, boy. Forever, boy.
Thanks for tuning in once again to Press Play OK. We're really excited to have with us today Cat Locke. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Hi, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
So let's start with the beginning for you. Let's go back to when you first started playing music. How did you get started? What made you want to start playing music?
Well, I always have been a singer. I did musicals from like age 6 to 19. I thought, like, that I was born to be on Broadway. That was my life purpose. And then I didn't go to college for it because college is expensive. And it really just, it was like I was suddenly thrown into kind of groups of friends that they were all in bands and they were all playing. And I learned how to play guitar. My friend Ian and I were alone. And he was like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I taught you how to play a song on guitar so when our friends got back, you could, like, play it? And I did it. And then I was like, hey, can I borrow this guitar and just, like, teach myself? And then it just kind of seemed like the thing to do. Like, I'd go to my friends' shows with bands. I was like, wait, this is, like, a thing? You can just, like, have a band and people can do it? I'll do that. I should do that.
Nice. So you started off focused more on stage than, you know, traditional songwriting and performance.
Yes.
for bands?
Yes, but it's funny. I say I always thought, you know, I was born to be on Broadway and stuff. But when I really look back and I, over the pandemic, I was at my mom's house a lot digging through my, like, old bedroom. And I found notebooks and notebooks from when I was little full of songs that I didn't even, like, remember that I was writing songs because I didn't do anything with them. And one of our neighbors told my mom recently, said something about, it's so crazy that Catherine is in bands now. She said, I remember just every day in the summer we'd be sitting and she would just walk and circle that pool and just write songs to herself all day long. So I guess I was always doing that, but that was just my outlet for it. I didn't have, like, a place to put all those songs, which, you know, I'm sure they were really, really good. So a shame, but I didn't really find a place for it until I got out of the theater world.
So maybe sometime in the future, we might hear some of your, like, forgotten 10 years old and under songs at some point.
There's one that my friend was obsessed with. I found a picture of, and it was called, it was, like, mean. It was very obviously I'd, like, listened to Taylor Swift and been like, she writes songs with, like, people's names in it. And I was mad at this girl, Lauren. And all I remember is, like, Lauren, Lauren, try ignoring me now. I hope it's pouring you down. It just, like, so bad. Like, so very clearly, like, I'm going to use a name and find something that rhymes with it.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about songwriting. So you've been songwriting since you were young, and as of now anyway, your music has a really wide variety of sounds and different styles in there. You know, I was listening earlier, and your top songs on streaming go from, like, really kind of sparse piano ballads that really focus on the lyrics to, like, full band, more upbeat songs Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process now. I mean, you may or may not be walking around a pool writing songs at this point, but tell us about your process for writing songs right now.
Honestly, a couple weeks ago, I was house sitting for my mom, and I just like wanted to, I was outside and I started walking around the pool, and I'm not kidding, I started getting song ideas.
Did it work better than just like sitting down and writing?
It worked pretty well. It worked pretty well. I mean, I didn't like have a guitar. I'll have to bring the guitar out with me next time. Yeah. But I, you know, got the voice memos out and got some ideas. I always wish I had a better answer to any question about songwriting. And I kind of think that anyone who does like have a really good answer for that question is lying. Because I just, I mean, there are certain people, maybe people who write more like compositions type where they like sit down and are like, here's the structure. I just don't know any people in my real life that write songs like that. Mine always just come from the moment, like that last album experimental thing I did in existence, the piano one, that happened because I stayed at my mom's for the first couple months of the pandemic, and she has a piano and I don't. And so I was going through a really bad breakup, going through pandemic, going through a new health diagnosis, and there was a piano there. And I've always felt more comfortable. Piano is more my instrument. Guitar, I feel like I make do. So much easier to play guitar than piano. Who wants to lug a keyboard around shows? Yeah, I wish I had a better answer, but the truth of it is most of the time I'm just sitting somewhere and I have a little bit of an idea. I usually lyrics first, sometimes a melody first. If it's piano, sometimes that, like a lot of In Existence was piano first. But if it's a guitar song, it probably came from the lyrics and I'm filling in the blanks, but it's just so inconsistent.
So it sounds like you kind of write more from what feels right at the moment, maybe.
Totally.
You know, just what comes out of you at the time.
Yes. Very rarely do I sit and think, like, I'm going to write a song that's like this or about this. I've started doing that recently as, like, kind of a practice. I'll be like, I'm going to try and write, like, a Phoebe Bridgers song. How hard can it be?
And how's that going for you?
I actually really like my Phoebe Bridgers song that I wrote. Oh, it seems like you've grown. You've caught me in a moment that I'm not so proud of. I didn't expect this, just wanted a good fix of affection with a pinch of toxic.
So what I've noticed is that a lot of your songs really seem like they come from personal experiences and feelings. And I mean, that makes sense if it's kind of, you know, if it's what flows at the time. What compels you to write about things that are so personal? Like, is it kind of catharsis for you? Is it just what makes sense to you?
It is what makes sense to me. And I think a lot of kind of what this album is about. I think I really struggled, as any person in their early 20s does, with a sense of self. So for a long time, it was a lot easier to write about other people and to write love songs or opposite of love songs. And it was a real struggle to kind of figure out how to write songs just about myself. It just didn't feel like that. That felt like selfish. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for me for a long time, but I've finally kind of figured that out. And I feel like this album is kind of my last bunch of songs before that. And what it ends on, I don't know how much you listen to, it ends on that song Mars, which is kind of about that. That's like next chapter. We started in Venus. I'm an astrologer, so it's there's a lot of astrology stuff on the album. Not that you can't listen, you'll not know it, but an astrologer would listen and be like, hey.
Catch a little.
Yeah, if you know astrology, you're going to catch way more stuff about that. But yeah, I think it was really hard for me to write about myself, and so it was really easy to write about other people. And to, like, I don't know, myself almost as not the victim of them, but a little bit more like, this is happening to me feeling. That was always a really easy place to write from. And it's hard for me. I'm not a very, in my normal day-to-day life, I'm not a very emotional person.
So was maybe songwriting a little bit of an outlet
for that? Totally.
It's kind of interesting that you mentioned like the next chapter. It seems like you almost have the next phase of songwriting planned out, or at least you have an idea of where you want it to go.
Always.
Something I've noticed throughout your songs that you've already released is that every once in a while you get the theme of change popping up. It seems to be somewhat consistent in your songwriting. Can you talk about that? Do you think that's something that comes into your mind often?
Yes. I mean, if you want me to talk more about it, I'm a Scorpio, and Scorpios are the sign of change.
All
like
right.
The death card in tarot, how people are like, ah, and then they're like, no, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It just means change. It means like death and rebirth, and that is the card of Scorpios. So either Scorpios can like live in a place where they're constantly changing, or they can trigger change in other people. But yeah, I think I've kind of always unfortunately thrived in times of change, and everyone's life changed in 2020. Of course, everyone's life changed, and I am not special in that way. But right before, like at the end of 2019, I had gone to massage therapy school. I was good at it. I really liked it. I graduated. I had a budding great relationship and friendship. And then about a month before the pandemic, I was given a health diagnosis with Ehlers-Danlos, a chronic thing, and told I can't do massage therapy. So I had a job lined up and everything and was like, nope, you can't do that. You don't have a job. And then I had a breakup all at the same time. And so what did I do? I wrote an album.
I feel like that's probably the healthiest coping mechanism I can think of to deal with those kind of problems. Broke somebody's heart, so please don't mess it. Please don't mess it. Begging us, please don't mess it. Please don't mess it. Please don't mess it. We won't mess it. Obviously, COVID has affected a lot of musicians, and I feel like there are two types of musicians throughout the pandemic. There are those who sat down and they wrote an album like you did, and then there are those who did almost nothing. Maybe right. Like took a break, you know, like you can't go out and play shows, so what's the point in practicing, that kind of stuff. How has COVID affected you as a musician?
I wish I was better at taking breaks. I don't know how to do that. My mom would tell me, don't take a break. I think, well, at the beginning, I dove really hard into the astrology stuff. And I'm very, like, spiritual in a way that I feel like I felt very guided, almost forced into it. It was like the massage thing, nope. It just felt like any career that I tried other than like music was just something disastrous would happen. I mean, literally, I graduated on a Friday. I got my diagnosis on Tuesday. And also my birthday was like that Saturday.
Wow.
So it was like I turned 24 and out of a job, new health diagnosis, you can't work, stuff like that. And so, yeah, I felt forced into, I mean, I needed money. I literally needed money. And I started like an astrology business kind of accidentally. A friend of mine who has a podcast, I'd given him a reading just as a friend, did a birth chart reading for him. And then on an episode of his podcast, and he has thousands, hundreds of thousands of listeners, he like mentioned, oh, I got my chart read by my friend Kat. Look her up. I hadn't even listened yet. And I had 50 message requests on Instagram all of a sudden. And it was all these people asking about my prices and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I remember it was on a weekend, and I just wrote everyone and said, like, hey, great, thanks so much. Email me here, and I'll get back to you Monday. And I made a website, and I made a little business plan. I was like, okay, I guess I am doing this. It was like it just was forced on me, which helped me grow a lot and deal with that sense of self stuff as I was, like, very alone. And not alone, I should say single, I guess. But I got really thrown into that, and then it was almost just like the world was like, okay, time's up. You I stopped getting readings. They just stopped booking. All of a sudden, it was like I was getting 5 a day, and then it just kind of stopped, and then music gigs were popping up again, and it just felt like, okay, now's the time to, you know, finish. I had this album, you know, deal with the studio before COVID even started, but it got super delayed, and so I had, you know, been saving and working at the astrology and networking, all of that, and just, like, got, all right, notification. It's time to go back to music and give it all you got, because who knows what's going to happen, you know?
Absolutely. So you mentioned before that you first picked up the guitar. That was the first thing you learned. And then later you learned piano.
There was a piano at my mom's house. And so I played piano first, but it was more like I'd learn how to play my favorite Sarah Bareilles songs from a YouTube video. So I could kind of bare minimum, like I could figure out the piano, but I wouldn't say that I could play it. Guitar was the first thing I sat and like taught myself. And then piano just like came a lot easier. But I didn't have a keyboard at my house or anything to really practice enough, as guitar was easier.
Do you play other instruments as well?
I play some ukulele. I play like a little bit of all of them. I play a little bass. I can do like 2 drum beats. That's it.
So how has that helped you as a musician, or as a songwriter, I should say, since you're able to not only play but also write all of these parts? How has that helped you out?
It's helped me feel more confident, especially when I first started and had a band and everything. I think obviously being a girl plays into a lot of it, but I just always felt like in any room, I just always felt like I'm the dumbest person in this room. Like I'm musically the worst person here. And I really, I don't know, I let people walk over me a lot and like make decisions, which I'm not even saying is their fault. Like I let them. I was like, no, do whatever. What do you think about this? Do it. Yeah. Like always just whatever you say, that's got to be the best thing because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm new at this. I'm a theater girl, you know, and I've worked a lot on getting better at trusting myself. And sometimes people don't like that. Sometimes men do not like a girl telling them, don't play that, play this. And it's just helped to learn more so I feel more like I know what I'm talking about and I just don't have to buckle down so much.
So being able to play multiple instruments and you know, having at least a basic understanding of the other instruments that you have with your solo project, has that helped you feel more confident in maybe directing other people to do what you want, to maybe get the song to sound the way that you want?
Yes. I would say yes. I had a talk about this with my guitarist just a couple weeks ago that he still was like, what are things I do that you don't like? Like, please tell me. You need to be more like bossy. But I think, I don't know, it's just like anytime a girl stands up for herself, she's bossy. And she, you know, instead of like in my old band, it was like I'd just say, hey, guys, can we play the show? And no one responds. And I'm like, hey. And it was like, Kat's a dictator. Like, she's just so bossy. I'm like, well, someone, you know, has to do it. And so I still struggle with that. I've gotten a lot better. And he said the same thing. But he was like, still can be better. Still can be better. Like 2 things right now that I do that you don't like. Tell me.
So it's still something you're kind of learning how to do, maybe?
I think it's something I'll forever be learning how to balance. Because, of course, then you can go the other way and be too bossy.
So you've mentioned a couple times, you know, you've maybe dealt with more, what's the best way to put it? More hassle, more pushback because you're a woman in the music scene. Do you feel like that's an accurate representation of your experience?
I think it is an understatement.
Okay.
My experience.
How has that affected you? What have you taken away from that?
It sucks that you have to learn kind of how to act in different ways. I've learned a lot of when I first was thrown into this. And I was I didn't date in high school. I didn't like anything. I was a theater nerd once again. I was not cool. And it was like I was thrown into this world, and a lot of people would offer me favors and things like, oh, I can help you, I'd be happy to whatever. And then the second that I didn't want to date them, the favor was gone. The prices went up. They'd stop responding. That's one of the, even the ones that would open it with like, I mean, I've been told before, like, you need to not be at that place because those guys objectify you. You need to come here. And then I would be like, yeah, I'd go there. And then that person would try and sleep with me. Or, you know, cross lines. And so it's like, again, I think that people are always learning that balance and will always be crafting it because you're too friendly or you're too mean. A lot of, I won't name names or anything, but there are certain venues that I've never been able to book myself. The only way I've ever been able to play there was because a guy in another band. I was literally sitting across the table from a friend of mine who was in a band of all guys, and I was messaging this venue guy about, I want to play a show, blah, blah, blah. And last time I played this venue, I packed it out. We sold out. And he told me there was nothing available. And then he messaged him across from me a list of available dates. And I mean, that friend just literally handed the phone to me and said, pick one of these and tell him that you can do it. And I did. And he didn't say anything. He was like, okay, sure. I'm like, I'm literally, and I'm not friends with that person anymore. And I have not been able to book certain venues because, or, you know, talent agencies, stuff like that. You look at their rosters, you look at show lineups. I mean, how many shows happen where there's not a woman gracing the stage all night? I mean, that's the first thing I think of when I book a show. I'm like, okay, who's like people that don't play? I don't want to watch. Who wants to watch the same like five bands every weekend?
I hesitate to ask because obviously it shouldn't be on women to solve this problem. But from your perspective, what can be done to make that any better?
I mean, I think it's on the men to like reach out. I think it should be a challenge that if you're in a guy in a band, especially with all guys, and you're booking a show, you should make every attempt to book a female act. You know, I think it's just little things like that are going to make the difference. There's a lot of talk. You know, a lot of bands are, we respect everyone and we love women, blah, blah, blah. It's like, when's the last time you played a show with one?
That is a really good point, you know.
It's a really good point.
Yeah. It's a tough situation, and it's, at the same time, you know, it's representative of not just music, it's representative of everything.
Totally. And I think it takes the people in power, the men in popular bands, the men that run popular things, they need to extend that very obviously and very graciously, because it's not going to take anything away from them.
And you mentioned, you know, a previous band, you mentioned maybe having a little bit more freedom from those experiences as a solo project. Do you feel like you could ever go back to playing like in a band where it's a collaborative work? I know you have musicians come play with you in a live setting. Would you consider going back and doing like a full band?
I would love to be in a band again. I loved being in a band. It never was my goal to be a solo artist. When I started Catlock, I guess, I was still in my other band, and it was just I had other songs that didn't really fit that shape, or we just could never get together enough for them to learn the new songs. And so a friend of mine was like, you should just do like a solo album. You know, he had a studio. He's like, I'll produce it. I'll give you a good deal. You know, just do like 10 tracks of your own thing. And so I just got a couple of my friends together, but my other band was still a thing. And so it was just like, okay, well, I'll just say it's Catlock just for this. And then the band broke up and it was like, well, I already have started this, so I guess I'll continue with it. And that felt a little bit like another forceful energy, because things just did, I think, work better. And that's if you are the one writing the songs. I was the one writing the majority of the songs, and I was doing the social media. I was doing, you know, 90% of it. Mm-hmm. And doing 90% of it got a lot easier when it was just my name and I didn't have to wait for responses. And it really was just a thing of ease. But I absolutely love being in a band, and I have my live band now, and I feel like we're in a band, you know. It doesn't feel, there's a area, I'm still the boss, but as they would tell you, I'm probably too lenient at times. You know, they're like, what tone do you like? And I'm like, I don't care. You know, like, do what you think sounds good. They're like, what should I wear? I'm like, whatever. I'll have outfits like tucked in, tucked out. I'm like, whatever you feel comfortable in. You know, I'm not here to, I love being in a band. So yes, I would totally, I hope to have many projects and collaborations in the future.
So let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about the new album. We've mentioned it a little bit, but so you have a new album coming out called Some Recurring Notes. How did that come together?
Well, it's called Some Recurring Notes because there is a song on it called A Recurring Theme. And that is actually, I believe, the first song of the ones on the album that I wrote. I wrote that song in like 2016. And I remember when I wrote it initially for my first band, I just had the idea. I always love like a cute album name that's hidden in the lyrics or something like that. And I remember when I wrote it, I was like, I want to put this on an EP called Some Recurring Notes. I just think that's so clever of me. And I totally forgot about that. It came to this album. This album had a different name. I was going to call it Someone Else. And then I remembered because a recurring theme was on it. And I kind of went back to that song. And I felt that song that I'd written so long ago was very prophetic. And it really resonated with what I was talking about, having a sense of self. And it felt like I was right. I mean, I was right at the beginning of that journey. You know, I had my first like boyfriend in 2016, and that's what it was about. It was just about learning the same lessons over and over and until you're forced into actually learning them. And that lesson kind of was, I was like, why do I keep chasing these guys that don't want relationships? Because I don't want a relationship. Like, I just thought I did. I thought that that was the thing that was going to, like, fulfill me. And that's what I was chasing. And music, too. But it just felt like love and being loved took the front seat for a long time. And that song was, like, the first that I really touched on that in that way. And so it was really interesting coming back to it years later and being like, this really rings true if I'd written it today. And so I was like, well, then I have to use that album name that I thought of, even though it's a little corny, but I don't care. I think it's good.
Now, you mentioned one of the songs you wrote, what, 5 years ago? So how much of this is stuff that you worked on through the pandemic recently, and how much of it is older songwriting for you?
I would say only four of them are from 2020 on. Most of them are definitely older. And there are four. There are four that I'd written that nobody had really heard, that got, you know, written in studio more so. And those four, if you're really interested, are Don't Overthink Me, Room to Grow, Say It, and Mars. Those were the ones that were written a little bit later into the lessons.
You have a mixture of, you know, a little bit older work, a little bit newer work. You also talk about having a next chapter already planned. But before you move to that, what's new about this album for you? Is there anything that's different, or anything where you can kind of point to and say, hey, I've really grown as a songwriter, I've really grown as a musician?
Yes, this is the first album where I actually played my own instrumental parts. I always played in the band. That's another thing. I don't feel comfortable as a girl, like, just singing. To me, that feels like, what, you're just a girl, you just sing. I'm like, I just want to be, like, playing something, too. And that's why I played guitar. I was never going to do a thing where I just sang, which is so stupid. You just sang. Like, a lot of people can't even sing. So, but I think Yeah, I was just really easy to, when we were in the studio, you know, the lead guitarists would record their parts, and I'd be like, you can just record my part. You know, you can record my chords. You're going to play them better. And a part of that is, like, I haven't recorded in the studio, so it's just going to save time, because I don't know if I'm playing to a click was still a little bit new to me. And I just, again, I just let people, you know better. You know better. And this was, I mean, An Existence, I played them all, but this was the first, like, in a studio. An Existence was recorded in a bedroom. A beautiful bedroom. But, and yeah, this was the first one where I said, no, I want to play my parts, because it, I think I started to have someone else play them. And it's not, I mean, someone else who's a better guitarist than me. But I was like, you don't play it like I do. And I play it this way because that's, you know, how I wrote it. And that's how the song should be. So I actually recorded my own instrumentation on this. And like all the synth parts, I, instead of saying put a synth here or something, like I wrote them in advance. I scheduled, like, this album is really, I wrote, you know, almost every bit of it, more so than the others.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty big step. It is, like you mentioned, it's different to go into a studio. It's kind of, for the first time, it's kind of like, it's really nerve-wracking.
Oh my God. The first time I had to play guitar to a click, I was traumatized. Like, I was so bad at it, and it was so I'd never done it before, and it was an acoustic song, and I was so bad at it, and everyone's just looking, and I was just like so embarrassed. And I think that's what I was just like, I don't want to do that again. Like, you can just play it. You can just play it. I don't care. But I will say, Johnny Manchild was the first person who recorded, and he, like, I was to the point where I was looking at, the first thing we ever recorded was a song called Demetrius. There's an online version of it, but an older one. And I was playing it, and I was ready. I was looking at the other people. I was like looking at him like, you can play it. And he like stood up with me and was like, no, and like stood with me and like felt it out. And I got it. And I think when I recorded scratch tracks for this album, I was like, wait, I didn't struggle with the click. You know, I did it once through. I was like, I didn't mess up. Wait, I can do this? Okay, well then I'm going to record my own parts.
Well, that's awesome. That's, I mean, I feel like playing music, it's obviously the expression is an important part of it, but also just like the personal growth and the personal, the feelings you get out of it. They're so much better when you feel confident with it.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool. That's really cool.
And it's cooler to listen back and know that's really me playing.
Absolutely.
You know?
So what are you most excited about with this new album? What are you excited to share with your audience?
I'm excited to share some of the older songs, because there are people who've been like, why are you crying? It's been my favorite song for 4 years. Like, some of these were played with my old band. You know, people have been waiting on some of these. A lot of people know a recurring theme. And so I'm really excited to just finally, I'm really excited. It sounds awful almost to get these songs done so that I can. I mean, I still have hundreds of songs from years ago that I will probably revisit in the future. But it does feel like I did the EP in 2018, and that was, you know, I have this much money. How many songs? That's only going to get me 5 songs. I have to pick 5 songs. Mm-hmm. This feels more like I had 10 tracks, and I got to really think, like, what songs I wanted. And some of the newer ones, one song, Say It, I had not even thought about. I wrote verse, chorus of it on my voice memo once, probably like in October of 2019, and never looked at it again. And I was just looking through my voice memos, and I listened to it. I was like, I like this song. And I was like, I think I have space on the album. I'm going to add it. It just felt more like I got to really curate it and pick it, not so much as like, okay, I could only afford 5 songs, so here are the 5 that I picked. It really feels like here is like a piece of work that I'm really proud of, and is one thing start to finish. It's in order, just a complete thing, not just whatever I could make happen.
Well, that's really cool. It's
such a difference working that way.
It's a complete idea that all works together. And,
yes.
And that's great. That's really cool.
It doesn't feel just like thrown together. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're not limited by the amount of time and money. And
totally.
And,
with
that's
COVID,
really cool.
You know, I told him, I was like, with you again, my first EP, I was like, here's the deadline. And I was like, I don't want to work that way this time. I want to take our time. I ended up having to give a deadline, because if you don't give deadlines to people,
Right.
It doesn't happen. But it was a way more graceful deadline, gracious deadline, because I didn't want to rush it. And with COVID, I thought, there's no rush. What, I'm going to plan a release show? No, I'm not going to do that for a while. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to just, I like just letting things happen.
That's awesome. So speaking of the next chapter, what can we expect going forward after, not to jump over this new album or anything, but it sounds like you're excited for what's next. Tell us about what's next. Give us a little preview of what your thoughts are. What feelings are you going towards with this new album? Past this new album?
Definitely working things more album-minded. I know albums are kind of going out of style, but I love a good album. That's how I listen to music, you know? If I want to discover a band, I'm going to pick an album and listen to it start to finish. And I hope that people will listen to my stuff like that, you know, the way that I'm sure I'm not the only person on the planet that still listens to albums like that. But I definitely want to move forward more that way. I feel a little more piano just at the moment. That doesn't mean that my third from now album won't be a freaking metal guitar album. I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit more. I'm missing the piano a little bit. This album is pretty rock and roll. There are a couple songs on An Existence that I want to really fully imagine. I want, you know, an orchestra. I'd love to move to show it that off a little bit, you know, my theater vibes, and like really write with sheet music and really compose things a little bit more. And I think COVID was a reset because local artists kind of work differently than, I guess, what do you call real artists? Like people, you know, usually you write the songs in the studio, you release them, and then you tour them, and then you play them. But when you're local, you're writing songs to play live. And I realized that I was writing that. You know, when I wrote a song, I was thinking, how is this going to play live? Instead of thinking of the recorded version. And then I listened to a lot of the music I grew up really liking, like Sarah Bareilles, I mentioned. And I was like, you know, parts that I really love about this are the harmonies, and that's such a theatery thing and stuff that I can do, but I didn't think to write like that because I was thinking, how is the song going to play live? And I think that being able to step back from that was really helpful for me and probably a lot of people in songwriting, that it's not so backwards. I don't want to think, how's the song going to play live? I just want to think, what does this song do? Not how's it going to sound at the deli.
So the last question I have for you, when are we going to get Catlock the Astrological Musical on stage? So no, the actual question.
I would love that so much. I'm like getting ideas.
But no, you started with theater. You've mentioned theater a lot. Is that ever something that crosses your mind? Would you ever think about doing a stage, writing for stage?
I've thought about it. There are still a few roles I definitely want to play. There are a handful of roles that I won't be satisfied in life until I play a handful. And I'm kind of talking to a theater, but I can't, about maybe doing a show.
So no hints on who those roles might be?
No hints, but actually if you listen to the album, one of the song names is a hint.
Oh, all right.
But it's like I haven't even sat and thought about writing for a stage, but I just do feel like I will eventually end up there. It feels inevitable, and I would love to. They just wrote a production of The Nanny, the musical. Some of my favorite songwriters, Rachel Bloom and Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne, who died through COVID.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite songwriters. That Thing You Do was my favorite song growing up. Like. Yeah. One of my favorites ever, and Josie and the Pussycats obviously inspired me head to toe, everything I am, clearly. And they just did The Nanny, the musical, and I'm so excited to hear that. Maybe that's my next move. I should audition for Fran. I'd settle for CeCe, but I'm a Fran. But I would love to do that, and I feel like that'll be something I do when I find the right people, the right show will happen, and I absolutely would love to do that, but I'm not currently writing any musicals.
Something we might be able to look forward to in the future.
Yes, anyway. I'm thinking of astrology musicals now, and I'm like, every character could be like a planet. I'm like, oh, get a notebook.
Thoughts are just short of obscene. I am receiving some recurring notes. Don't make me happy, it'll only make me glow.
Thanks again to Catlock for coming all the way down from Norman to talk with us and hang out on Press Play OK. Be sure to hit subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you listen to podcasts, or check us out on rsuradio.com/podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors, Musicians Haven, for helping make this podcast possible, and for everyone who listens and supports local music.